Tonight, AEW Dynamite was live from Indiana. It is Wednesday, November 30th. I was going to say 29. November 30th. It's the end of November. I am the Solemn Monster. You know, last week, MJF was missing. He was nowhere to be found on Dynamite after winning the AEW World Championship from Jon Moxley at Full Gear. And William Regal came out and said that Max was off filming for his movie. Of course, he's filming a role in the new Iron Claw movie about the Von Erichs. He said something about an email, and he said MJF would be back on TV next week to explain what he meant by that. We were going to have to wait an extra week to find out why exactly MJF and William Regal came together the way they did at the pay-per-view. Tonight, we had our explanation. MJF came out. He explained exactly what went down as far as the meetings with him and Regal and the build-up to Full Gear. And, you know, it was kind of going along there for a while, going along a little too long. And then he unveiled his own custom version of the AEW World Championship. And the segment felt like it was really dragging on longer than it had to until MJF finally at the very end lowered the boom. And he did something that, honestly, I should have seen coming and I didn't. We all should have seen this coming, but I just wasn't expecting it. Not tonight, not in this segment. MJF pulls out the brass knucks that William Regal handed to him at Full Gear, the brass knucks that he used to win the AEW World title, and he nailed William Regal from behind right in the back of the head, like a shot that he didn't see coming right to the skull, and left him laying to close out what ended up being a very somber segment with William Regal being carted out into an ambulance and taken away, possibly for the very last time, because there have been a lot of rumors going around about William Regal and his future in AEW, rumors about WWE wanting him back, and of course WWE wants him back. Triple H would love to have William Regal back. He never would have gotten rid of him in the first place if it was his decision to make. But there's been a lot of speculation about William Regal's contract. How long is his contract with AEW? He hasn't even been around a full year yet. Revolution will be 1 year since William Regal made his debut on TV. Did he sign a one-year deal? Did he sign a three-year deal? I've seen reports saying both. I don't know what to believe. And William Regal has not come out and talked about his contract status either. So I can't say for sure, but I will tell you that what they did on television tonight sure felt like a write-off to me. It felt to me like this was William Regal's write-off from AEW television, and that he may be back in WWE a lot sooner than people think. Because this was, in effect, the perfect send-off for him. Doesn't mean he can't contribute behind the scenes. He doesn't have to be an on-air character for them, but what a waste. You have somebody like William Regal. How do you not use him on camera? As useful as he can be behind the scenes for any company that he works for, I would hate to think that it was some sort of, you know, permanent write-off of the William Regal character on TV. But that's what it felt like to me when that segment was over. But something else happened at the end of that segment, which is after the attack, Bryan Danielson came out. And it looked like we took our first step tonight towards a main event for AEW Revolution next year for the World Championship with Bryan Danielson challenging MJF. But before that, there's somebody else challenging MJF for the AEW World Championship, and his name is Ricky Starks, who is going to be in a battle royal next week for the Dynamite Diamond Ring. Now, I had forgotten that the Dynamite Diamond Ring was even a thing other than just a gimmick for MJF to use. I forgot that they're actually defending this thing, or not defending it, but basically putting it on the line as like a trophy that somebody can win, because we have never had another AEW Dynamite Diamond Ring winner other than MJF. MJF has won the Dynamite Diamond Ring not once, not twice, but three different times, going back 3 years to 2019. We have never had another Dynamite Diamond Ring winner, but they announced a battle royal tonight that will take place next Wednesday night. MJF won the Dynamite Diamond Ring 3 years ago against Hangman Page. He won the Dynamite Diamond Ring for a second time 2 years ago against Orange Cassidy. And then it was just last year that he won it for a third time with a win over Dante Martin. So Ricky Starks is going to enter himself into this battle royal next week for a shot to win the Dynamite Diamond Ring, even though Ricky Starks is already challenging MJF for his world championship, and Winter is coming in 2 weeks. He made it very clear tonight that he wants to take everything away from Max, not just his title, but his ring as well. But I will point out something to you, and I'm not making a prediction, I'm just pointing something out that a lot of people, I'm sure, have no idea about, because Sean Dean is not exactly somebody who has been featured on television in a prominent position. But one of the wrestlers that they featured in the graphic for the Battle Royal next week was Sean Dean, right? Captain Sean Dean. Sean Dean has 2 wins over MJF. He has a countout win over MJF, and he has a disqualification win over MJF. It is no coincidence that Sean Dean is being dusted off. Right, they've taken him off the shelf and they're dusting him off to include him in this battle royal next week. Not that he's necessarily going to win, but I think they're going to want people to think that Sean Dean may well have a shot at winning, because unlike a lot of other people, he has 2 straight wins over this man. It's not happenstance that he is being included in this battle royal next week. So watch for that. Watch for them to build some drama around him possibly winning the battle royal. And I wouldn't discount the possibility that he could win the whole thing. I think Ricky Starks has to be the favorite, obviously, but I would not discount the possibility of a shock win for Sean Dean, just based on his history with MJF. We had Hangman Adam Page. I mentioned his name a moment ago. He was back tonight. We haven't seen him in weeks since he got concussed in the match with Jon Moxley on Dynamite. He made his return tonight to confront Jon Moxley, and they ended up brawling all over the building. They had to be pulled apart 5 different times in the arena and then in the back when Hangman Page was being escorted out of the building. Sometimes stuff happens that you don't plan on. You make the best of a bad situation. It looks like that's what they're going to be doing with Hangman Page and Jon Moxley. So we have a lot of stuff to get into. Again, this is your Dynamite Review. I am the Solid Monster. Thank you for choosing me for your AEW coverage tonight on what is the final Dynamite Review, really the final live stream of any kind here in the month of November. We've had a big month. I thank you all for that. I've been getting all of your messages all day long about your Spotify Unwrapped. So many people listen to the podcast on Spotify, and I've gotten so many messages today, people showing me that they've listened to 5,000 minutes of the show this year, 3,000 minutes, 10,000 minutes. I believe Chris Manson, who is in the chat, I believe he is in the chat with us right now, has the record. It's going to be tough to top Chris Manson, who has, I believe, what is it, 26,000 minutes, I believe, in 2022. 26 or 27,000 minutes of listening hours for the Sound Off. Chris, you are a beast. And all I would say to everybody else is top that. I don't know that anybody else is going to be able to. I'll tell you what you can do for me, though. Hit the subscribe button if you are not already subscribed to the channel. Super chats are open. You can send one on in. I will be reading your messages and answering your questions as best I can. 350 likes is the goal for Be the Booker tonight. I know we are already well on our way. And so go ahead, because that like button is just begging to be smacked. So go ahead and do that. There's Chris. There's Chris. Chris is in the chat. 27 Club. 27,000 minutes. How many hours is that? It's a lot. We open the show with Jon Moxley making his way through the crowd on his way to the ring. Of course, he's making his way to the ring solo because he no longer has William Regal at his side. Moxley got in the ring. He said that his career has been a crazy ride, never knowing what's around the corner, but there are 3 certainties in this world: death, taxes, and Jon Moxley. Nobody can out-wrestle him. Nobody can out-bleed him, which I think he's right about that. Nobody can out-sweat him. I think Brock Lesnar might have something to say about that. And you can bet your ass that there is not a man in that locker room, he said, or within 100 miles to come out here and tell him any different. Cue up the Hangman's music. Here comes Adam Page. Big reaction. We haven't seen him in over a month. Been about 6 weeks since he suffered that concussion off the King Kong lariat. Hangman comes walking down to the ring. Excalibur said that he was in town to try to get cleared. He was going to see some doctors, but as far as he knew, he was not medically cleared. He got into the ring. He went nose to nose with Jon Moxley in the middle of the ring. And Moxley asked him if he was sure that he wanted to do this after what happened the last time. And then he said, oh, I'm sorry. He goes, do you even remember last time? And he couldn't even get the last word out before Hangman just attacked him. It was a great line. And the crowd reacted to it. Hangman went right after him. He popped him. They fought to the floor. They had to be separated by referees and security. Moxley broke free. He attacked Hangman. They separated them again. Hangman broke free. He attacked Moxley. Finally, they were able to push Hangman up onto the stage, right? They got him all the way up on stage. But now here comes Jon Moxley. Moxley breaks free again. And here comes Jon Moxley up the ramp trying to get at Hangman Page. And unfortunately for Jon Moxley, he misjudged where the edge of the ramp was, and he tripped and he fell off the ramp. Now, he didn't have a long way to fall, and we're not talking about the elevated stages like we had during the Attitude Era that were several feet high. So he didn't have far to fall, but just the way that he fell, you know, it's one of those things where you see something like that happen, like a total freak accident, and then you read on Fightful the next day or SE Scoops the next day that Jon Moxley is going to be out 4 to 6 months. So hopefully he's fine. I mean, there was more brawling to be done later in the show, so he looks to be fine, but those are the moments where bad things can happen, and I'm sure he was also very pissed and very embarrassed when that happened. But man, I'm telling you, man, that ramp is lethal, right? First it got Arn Anderson, and now it got Jon Moxley. Who's it going to get next? So I loved it. I loved the segment. I loved the opening segment. I thought that was a great line from Jon Moxley asking him, do you even remember what happened the last time we were in the ring together? This program just sort of fell into their lap. This was not something that they expected. They didn't expect Hangman to get hurt. We never had a resolution in that match. Moxley has since lost his championship, which paves the way now for him and Hangman to have a program together. Now they can finish what they started and at least do one more match together. And it's, again, one of those situations where you're dealt a negative and you try to turn a negative into a positive. And that's what they're doing here. The crowd was really into this. And now it gives these two guys something to do now going forward. So I loved it. I loved the opening segment. You know what else I loved? I loved the first match of the night. We had Bryan Danielson one-on-one against Dax Harwood from FTR. I've been looking forward to this match ever since they first announced it last week, and it did not disappoint. They were serenaded with chants of "This is awesome" before they even locked up. Danielson was lighting him up in the corner with strikes. He low-bridged Harwood to the floor. And on his way down out of the ring, Dax smacked his hip up against the edge of the apron on his way down. We had a running tope by Danielson who had sent Harwood over the guardrail into the front row. Right as they went to commercial, Harwood suplexed Danielson into the crowd. Danielson made it back into the ring in time. Harwood stayed on the attack, hit three rolling German suplexes. Harwood stuck him with a pile driver for two. And he missed the top rope headbutt. Danielson then hit the running knee off the apron to the floor, so they were both down on the floor. Harwood went for a superplex. Danielson crotched him, got the anvil elbows, went for a back superplex. Harwood in midair reversed the back superplex, landed on top of Danielson with all of his weight. But Danielson rolled through, coming out of that, got a close near fall. So both men roll to their knees. They're trading headbutts. They're trading lariats. They're no-selling the lariats. Harwood tried his slingshot powerbomb. Danielson, though, rolled through. Went for the Busaiku knee. Harwood countered into the slingshot powerbomb. He finally got it. And then after he hits the powerbomb, immediately he transitions into a sharpshooter. He folds in the legs. He turns over. He stands up. Danielson's kind of on his side. He's trying to avoid, you know, being locked in the position that he doesn't want to be in. So he's trying to fight it. They traded inside cradle counters until Danielson sank in the lapel lock, wrenched back on it, and Dax Harwood had no choice but to tap out. And so after the match was over, Harwood faked out that he was not going to shake hands with Danielson, and then, of course, turned around and the two of them shook hands and showed respect to each other. I want you all to remember the name Dax Harwood, because in a few weeks, all of us are going to be wondering who our wrestler of the year is. We are very rapidly approaching the end of the year. People are going to be talking about who's the wrestler of the year, what's the match of the year. And that name, Dax Harwood, is going to come up in a lot of conversations and should, deserves to come up in a lot of those conversations. Even if he's not your wrestler of the year, he deserves to be in that conversation based on the year that he has had. He has had a career year. We don't get to see Wheeler. I'm still thinking of him as Wilder. But Cash Wheeler, we don't get to see him in singles matches as much. But Harwood has had some incredible matches this year, both as a single and tag team matches with the Bucks, with the Briscoes, and of course all the singles matches that he's had on TV. He's had singles matches with Danielson, singles matches with Punk. It's just been a pretty incredible year for him. So keep that name in mind when you're thinking about Wrestler of the Year honors for 2022. One critique of the match that I saw, and I saw it in the chat a little bit earlier on, one critique that I saw is that, yeah, it was a good match, or it was a great match, but it was cold, right? There was no story. It was just one of those random matches that Tony Khan books on television, and so there's no story, and it's not going anywhere. What does it really mean? And I would counter by saying that even though there was no actual story, there was a reason for what we saw here. Based on what happened later in the show, it's pretty clear. Bryan Danielson is going to be challenging MJF for the AEW World title. I don't know exactly when. I think Revolution would probably make sense. End of February, beginning of March, whenever that pay-per-view is going to be. So now is the time that you want to start building up Bryan Danielson, who has been almost on the back burner, it feels like now, for a lot of 2022. And he's lost a bunch of matches. Danielson has not been used to his maximum potential. Now is the time that you want to be getting him on television. You want to be getting him wins. That's what tonight was. Tonight was two things. Number one, getting Danielson a win, because now they're going to begin to build him up for a championship match. That was number one. Number two, based on what happened later on in the night with MJF and Regal, they needed a reason for Bryan Danielson to not be there quicker when Regal got popped in the back of the head with those brass knucks. Remember, when he ran out in that segment to check on Regal, he had one boot on. He had no shoe on one foot, and he had a shoe on the other one because he was in the trainer's room coming out of his match. He didn't realize what was going on until it was already too late. So it did actually serve a purpose. So that would be my counter to that criticism here. This match was less about Dax Harwood. I mean, look, I'm sure it was to Harwood, it was like, I want to work with Bryan Danielson, right? And tonight he had the chance to do that. So for him, he got what he wanted. This match was not about Dax Harwood. This match was about Bryan Danielson, and it was about what happened later on in the segment with MJF. That's why this match happened tonight. Backstage, Ricky Starks was with Tony Schiavone and said that he would be entering himself into the Dynamite Diamond Ring Battle Royal next Wednesday night. Because he doesn't just want to take MJF's title at Winter is Coming. He wants to take everything that he owns, including that diamond ring. Now, I would think that Ricky Starks has got to be the favorite in that battle royal, although, again, I throw that Sean Dean name out there. And I don't think anybody really is dying to see Sean Dean win and then potentially challenge MJF for the AEW World Championship, but again, just keep that name in the back of your mind. But I want to talk about this Dynamite Diamond Ring stuff. MJF has had the Diamond Ring. He's had a stranglehold on this Diamond Ring now for 3 years. Okay, he's a three-time winner of the Diamond Ring. It is now his gimmick. It is not an official AEW trophy. It's not a championship. It's part of MJF's character in this company. MJF, over the last couple of years, has won many matches with that Dynamite Diamond Ring. That Dynamite Diamond Ring has been part of his story and his feuds with different people, including CM Punk, right? It's become part of him, part of who he is. Anybody else who wins this Diamond Ring, I feel like this ring is going to be useless. Because if another heel was to win the Diamond Ring, I mean, what are they going to do? Are they going to do the exact same thing that MJF does and just use it to win their matches and knock out their opponents? We've already seen that. We've had that for 3 years with MJF. Do we need another year of another heel popping people in the face with the diamond ring to win their matches? It's already been done. If a babyface wins the diamond ring, I don't see the purpose. I mean, have they specifically said, if maybe I missed it, did they specifically articulate the idea that the person who wins the diamond ring gets a world championship match? Did they actually say that on TV tonight? I don't recall hearing them say that. One doesn't have anything to do with the other, although the fact that the diamond ring holder is the champion, you would think that if you win the diamond ring, it probably will get you a championship match. I mean, look, you have to beat MJF to win the diamond ring, right? You have to beat MJF. If you win the battle royal, you get a match with MJF to win the diamond ring. If you beat MJF in a non-title match, you should then be able to get a championship match. So I guess that's the significance. But when that's over, you still have that stupid ring. I just don't see the need to keep it around anymore. I understand it's a gimmick they introduced 3 years ago. It's tradition. They want to keep it alive. I just don't think at this point that it really serves much of a purpose. We have tournaments and battle royals in this company all the time to crown number one contenders. Do we really need the diamond ring? I think it has outlived its usefulness. I really don't see a need for it after this. I think it should just fade away. One of those gimmicks, it worked for MJF, let it fade away. You want to come up with something else? Come up with something else. I just don't see the need for it. Back from the break, Hangman Page was being escorted out of the building when Moxley attacked him again. And again, referees and security had to come over to break them up. Renee Paquette was conducting an interview from a soundstage in Nashville, Tennessee. Another location. And on one side, she had members of the Jericho Appreciation Society. On the other side, she had two members, two of the last remaining members here of the Blackpool Combat Club, Claudio Castagnoli and Wheeler Yuta. She thanked them both, both sides, for agreeing to no physicality in this segment. Over on the JAS side, they had Jake Hager, Daniel Garcia, Matt Menard, and Angelo Parker. There was no Chris Jericho on the show tonight. So we had Hager tossing Claudio his own bucket hat, just like the one that he has. He tossed him his stupid bucket hat to wear. Told him basically get used to it, because when you lose to Jericho at Final Battle and join the Jericho Appreciation Society, you're going to be wearing this hat anyway. Claudio got hot. He stood up. He started ranting about how I'm sick of all of this. I'm sick of sit-down interviews. He's just generally sick of it all. And he stormed off. So that left Wheeler all by himself. And Garcia said that he would team with Jake Hager to face Claudio and Yuta in a tag team match. Yuta agreed to the match but said, "I want that." He pointed to the Ring of Honor Pure title over Daniel Garcia's shoulder. He says, "This has to end once and for all. I want a shot at that championship." And Garcia agreed to give him a title match at Final Battle. So that's going to be your Pure championship match. You know, I, like many of you, I am done with the JAS and the BBC or the BCC or BCB or whatever the fuck they are. I'm done with this. It has gone on for far too long. I was happy to hear him say that this is it. This is the end of the line. So Yuta in that promo was indicating that come Final Battle, this is it. Jericho wrestles Claudio, Yuta wrestles Garcia, and that should be it for the Jericho Appreciation Society Blackpool Combat Club stuff. Which also tells me there's a very good chance that Claudio is getting that belt back. Because for Claudio to lose means he joins the JAS, and that just drags this shit on even longer. So now I'm pulling for Claudio, because a win for Claudio, I think, means a win for all of us. Claudio is representing everybody who wants this feud to come to an end once and for all. All of you should be cheering for Claudio to be Ring of Honor World Champion for a second time come Final Battle, whether you like the guy or not. Speaking of Ring of Honor, we had Samoa Joe's first title defense as the TNT champion in what they dubbed the TNT Championship Open Challenge. Samoa Joe defending his title against the newly signed AR Fox. For those who don't know, AR Fox, after his appearance on TV a few weeks ago, it was in a six-man tag with Top Flight, I believe against Death Triangle. was signed to an AEW contract. He was offered an AEW contract. This week, he signed the contract. So he is officially All Elite. So he answered the open challenge, and he got himself a championship match tonight. Fox did a handspring enziguri that sent Joe out to the floor. Fox then set up for a dive out to the floor. When he went for the dive, Joe did the old sidestep move that he used to do that I loved when he would do it in TNA back in the day, where he just, he stands there, and as the guy comes off the top rope or he comes diving out of the ring, Joe just very casually steps aside. And he's so smug about it. But what he didn't realize is that Fox landed on his feet. And when Joe turned around, he ate a pump kick. Back inside, Joe took control with strikes and a running senton. They cut to picture in picture, and the one bad thing about this match is that half the match took place during the commercial break. So that unfortunately hurt the match. But I thought what they gave us was good, though. Fox hit a cutter and a top rope 450 for a near fall. He went up top again. Joe again pulls the sidestep move, sidestepped a somersault dive, and then he launched AR Fox. He came barreling in with a pounce, pounced him right into the ropes. Got him up top, hit a muscle buster, and got the pin. So Joe has one title on one shoulder. That's the TV title, Ring of Honor TV title. He's got the TNT title on the other shoulder. He takes the microphone. And he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you to a new and glorious era." He said, "For I am the one true king of television." He should have said, "I'm the king of cable." A little old WCW reference there. So he dubbed himself the king of television because he basically has two TV titles now. Wardlow appeared on the big screen. He mocked Joe for calling himself that. And then he said that it's almost as lame as the Warjo name, which he accused Joe of coming up with. And that was a very lame name. The problem is Wardlow says this, right? He makes fun of Joe. He blames Joe for coming up with that lame Warjo name. And then in the very next breath, he uses his whole Wardlow's World slogan, which is equally as lame. So he's not really one to talk. But he said he's coming for Joe. This isn't Joe's world. This is Wardlow's world. Up next, we had William Regal down to the ring. The announcers pointed out that Regal knew that Jon Moxley was escorted out of the building with Hangman Page after their brawl earlier. And so that's why he feels like he can casually walk down to the ring. Because remember, Regal was told by Moxley last week, walk and keep walking and don't ever come back. Don't ever look back. I don't want to see you here ever again. So he knew that Moxley wasn't there, so it was safe for him to come down to the ring. In the ring, behind Regal, there's a stand, and clearly there's some sort of championship belt. I mean, you can make it out. You can make out the form of it under the sheet that was covering it, but we didn't know exactly what it was. So Regal introduced us to the new AEW World Champion Maxwell, Jacob Friedman. This was his first live appearance on TBS since Full Gear, since becoming the AEW World Champion. He's got a live mic in his hand already as he's coming down to the ring. Halfway down the ramp, he spits his gum out into his hand and threw his disgusting chewed gum into the face of a little girl in the front row. So he gets into the ring and he says, "I know you people aren't very bright." They were in, was it Indianapolis? I know they were in Indiana. I don't know if it was Indianapolis or a different city. But he says, "I know you people aren't very bright, but when the best wrestler in the world is on the microphone, you keep your hillbilly mouths shut." He says, "I would like to tell you how my unholy union with Mr. Regal came to be." And he was interrupted by chants of "shut the fuck up," which he thought was very uncouth. And he said, "I want to read you an email." This is the email that Regal referenced on the show last week. "I want to read you an email that Mr. Regal sent to me after I was attacked by the firm several weeks ago." And that email read as follows. "Maxwell, I watched on as the firm," and I love, by the way, how Regal still has MJF's email address. I love how he held on to it, right? He probably went back in his Gmail, typed in Maxwell, and came up, and I love how he still had his email address. "Maxwell, I watched on as the firm attacked you. It's become very clear that you've grown weak. I see all the potential in you to become the greatest villain of our time. But as I've said previously, you have much to learn. But if you want to win the title, the ring you must grab this time isn't the Dynamite Diamond ring, it's the brass ring. And he said that after that, he met with Regal many times behind closed doors. He told MJF that at Full Gear, do not use the ring, use the brass knucks, because he didn't just want him to beat Jon Moxley, he wanted to leave Moxley with an emotional scar so that he would never forget the day that he was outsmarted by MJF. So then he turned his attention to the firm. He said, you know, I kind of respect the firm. He says that they saw weakness in him, and like sharks in the water, they attacked. So he kind of respects that. But then he moved on from the firm. That was, you know, mostly he didn't have much to say about the firm. Moved on from that. Talked about the AEW title around his waist. And he said that every time he looks at that AEW championship, he wants to gag. Which is funny, because I actually think the AEW world title is one of the best-looking belts in wrestling. The new IWGP belt has actually grown on me. I miss the old belt. Nothing to me in this current era will top the IWGP belt prior to the current one. But the current one has grown on me. But the AEW world title may be the best looking world championship in wrestling. And I know the NWA title is still out there, but it's on Tyrus, so it no longer counts. So it's funny him saying that he looks at the belt and it makes him want to gag. I could think of other championships that I look at right now, today, in wrestling, that make me want to gag. The AEW title is not one of those titles. He said, this belt needs an upgrade. He goes, it's tacky, it lacks class, and it reminds him of all the men who held it before him, none of whom are on his level. And that is why this version, he unsnapped the championship and held it up. And he said that this version of the AEW championship is garbage, and he dropped it on the floor outside the ring. He dropped it on the floor the way that Nikki Cross dropped the 24/7 title on the floor when she missed the garbage and it landed on the floor in the back. So the AEW championship is lying on the floor outside. And he turns to William Regal and he has Regal pull the tarp off of the hidden belt that was on the stand in the ring. And he pulls off the tarp to reveal this, what you see on your screen, which is basically the current design of the AEW World Championship, but with a big Burberry, as you can see there, pattern on the strap. He calls it the Triple B. He's calling it the Big Burberry Belt. And then he talked about fake tough guys in the company. Now, before I even get into that, honestly, with the Burberry backing, it actually looks really nice. But for the most part, it's exactly the same championship, just on a lighter strap with a Burberry design. So, like I said, I like the belt as it is. So, of course, I like this belt too. And look, we've seen this before, right? In other companies, we've seen whether the Smoking Skull belt or John Cena's Spinner belt. People have custom championships sometimes. And I'm not always a fan of the custom titles. This is a custom title that doesn't deviate from the main title design, so I don't mind it so much. I think it's fine. I was a little worried, frankly, when they pulled that tarp off. I didn't know what to expect. But because I like the belt as it is, I don't mind this. But MJF talked about fake tough guys in the company. He mentioned Eddie Kingston by name, and then the crowd chanted for Eddie. Big Eddie Kingston crowd here in Indiana. They wanted to cheer for Eddie Kingston. MJF said that the fans could chant his name all they want. Kingston will never be a world champion. And they booed. And if that is not a future AEW World Championship match, then Tony Khan, you're making a very big mistake. That absolutely should be a future championship match in 2023. MJF defending that title against Eddie Kingston. It could be on Dynamite. Or it could be the main event of a pay-per-view. I believe that you can headline an AEW pay-per-view with that as a match. There are so few AEW shows, pay-per-view shows. Four of them is all they have all year long. So you want to, ideally, you want to build to the biggest possible match that you can do. Eddie Kingston is not a match that I map out what the kind of title defense schedule might look like for MJF next year. He's not on my list. I think Bryan Danielson gets the shot at Revolution. I think Wardlow probably gets the shot at Double or Nothing. Wardlow has a win over MJF. Double or Nothing is going to be 1 year since Wardlow beat MJF, right, with the Powerbomb Symphony. I think Danielson, I think Wardlow, if he's still the champion going into All Out next year, I just don't see Eddie Kingston being one of those guys. But there's no reason why you can't do an Eddie Kingston championship match and build it up with a few weeks build on television. Tony Khan would be insane not to make that match. I mean, you would have, just think of the reaction in the crowd, right, to that match. Because Eddie, they love Eddie Kingston. And he's not going to win. But just the idea that he might, and that you get some close near falls in that match, right? The people rallying behind him so badly they want to see Eddie Kingston shut this guy up and become world champion just one time in his career. And then in the end, MJF cheats and he wins. And just the heat that he would get. What a prick, right? Eddie came this close, but he fell just short. You've got to tell that story at some point. And based on this reaction here, I don't see how you don't tell that story. But then he talked about other tough guys, like fake tough guys like Ricky Starks. He mentioned fake wrestlers like Bryan Danielson. And then he turned to Regal because, you know, that's Regal's guy. And he turned to Regal and he said, no offense, in comparison to me, Bryan Danielson couldn't wrestle his way out of a goddamn paper bag. And he told Regal, no offense again, but some people just can't be helped. So then he sent a message to everyone in the AEW locker room. As long as I am in this company, you will never know what it feels like to be on top because I am going to be the world champion for a very long time. Until the bidding war of 2024, where I will use the triple B to make more money in a day than any of these white trash disgusting hicks will see in their miserable lives. And he said that he just prays to God the right con foots the bill, and God knows he's not talking about Tony. He's talking about jolly old Saint Nick and his other boy, the Game Trips. MJF has been doing this for a while, and he's going to continue to do this. Throughout all of next year, he'll be talking about this bidding war of 2024. MJF is the only one who I can tolerate talking about WWE this way, because we've heard so many people drop WWE references, you know, over the years in this company. And at first it was fine, right? They're the new company. You want to take shots at the other company, especially at that time. You know, when AEW first formed, the reason why so many people flocked to them and wanted them to succeed and wanted to give them a chance is because they truly were sick of what they were seeing in WWE, right? They were wrestling fans. They wanted to enjoy wrestling. Vince McMahon was not giving them what they wanted. It was just more of the same old shit. So they were dying for an alternative, and they were curious, and they wanted to check out what this AEW thing was about. That very first episode of Dynamite, 1.4 million viewers, right? There was a lot of goodwill and a lot of hope. And it made sense at that time to take little shots at them, right? Because it was such an easy thing to do because there were so many things to take shots at. Now, and I said this after Triple H took over, things are far from perfect in WWE, but you no longer have Vince McMahon as the boogeyman to pick on anymore. And the WWE product has improved from where it was 6 months ago. But we've heard WWE, WWE, WWE so many times. MJF is the only one where for his character it makes sense because he has a contract coming up in 2024. And I think it's a very real thing that he is going to play both sides against each other because why wouldn't he? Why would you not? You have two companies that are going into TV rights negotiations and both companies very likely are going to end up with more money than they have now. Given the timing of his contract expiration, he would be a fool not to use that to his advantage. So I actually don't mind it when he drops references to Triple H and Nick Khan because it fits. It fits the persona. And I think there's a lot of truth to what he says there. So then he says, well, maybe it's not even a matter of me ending up in a wrestling company. Says, maybe when the time comes and I'm no longer the AEW World Champion, it's because Hollywood wins and I go make movies. But he's not deaf. He knows there were fans that were over the moon when he became the AEW World Champion and cheered for him at Full Gear. but he has a feeling that will soon turn to resentment. He said, because the fans are fickle. He goes, before long, they're going to be talking about how, oh, I'm sick of MJF. I can't stand this guy. I am so sick of seeing him and watching him on TV, and he's boring, and he cheats to win all of his matches, and we barely even see him wrestle. He barely even defends the championship. I'm so sick of MJF. And he says, that's great, because they're going to keep on watching and waiting for that person to come along and beat him and take that championship away from him. So MJF said the belt will be defended very rarely. He will be wrestling very rarely because he's a special attraction. He said the fans will need to reach into their pockets to pay to see him wrestle on pay-per-view. He said his title reign will make Hulk Hogan, JBL, and Jeff Jarrett's reign seem short and sweet. He said that his title reign would make Bruno Sammartino roll around in his shitty little grave. He said that this is the era of MJF and his reign of terror has begun. Oh, the new reign of terror. Some people think that Roman Reigns is in the middle of a reign of terror. I get a lot of email. You know, a lot of what MJF said here, you could say the same thing about Roman Reigns. Right? People at first were like, finally, he turned heel, right? They put him with Paul Heyman. This is great. This is the Roman Reigns that we should have got years ago. And what's it been now? 2.5 years? I can't tell you how many messages and emails I get. Even 6 months ago. I'm so sick of Roman Reigns. I can't stand Roman Reigns. They're shoving him down our throat again. He's boring. He barely shows up. He barely defends the championship. All the things that MJF said in this promo, people are going to say about him. They're already saying that. A lot of people are. About Roman Reigns. That's what happens when you have a long title reign like this. People are not used to that. They're not used to having somebody be the champion for 2.5 years. It's unheard of in this era. It was commonplace 30, 40 years ago, but in this era, it's just something you don't see. Unless your name is Walter and you're the NXT UK champion. Very rare. But then he said to Regal, you know, I almost forgot. I almost forgot. And then when he said that, I could see where this is going, and I was kicking myself for not seeing it sooner. He pulled out the brass knucks. And when he pulled out the brass knucks, I said, that's it. We all know how this segment is about to end. He pulls out the brass knuckles out of his pocket. He tells Regal, he's thanking Regal. He says, without these brass knuckles, none of this would have been possible. And I'm thinking, this guy is not going to stand here and give Regal all the glory for his win and say that, oh, without you, this never would have happened, right? It's completely counter to the MJF character. So you had to see where this was going. And he said that, you know, Regal is a man who loves this business, and he encouraged the fans. Yeah, that's right. Give it up for him. Give it up for William Regal. And he's walking behind Regal, and Regal is kind of awkwardly just kind of standing there in one position, and he's not turning around to, like, follow Max. He's just standing there, and MJF goes behind him, and he reaches down, and he pops him right in the back of the head with the fistful of brass knucks. Boom! Nails him right in the back of the head, and down goes Regal. Regal takes a bump to the mat. And he kneels down beside William Regal's fallen body. He's face down. He's motionless on the mat. And he kneels down next to him. And he remembers Regal telling him that he has a lot to learn. And he says, it's funny that you say that. And yet Regal is the one who made a deal with the devil. And then he kind of did a little play off something Regal said in that email. Remember, he told us about the email from Regal many years ago, like 7 years ago. This fucking guy has held a grudge for 7 years. He never forgot what William Regal said to him in that email when he rejected him, when he would send in his stuff, his resume for WWE, and Regal responded to him and just crushed his soul. Remember, MJF said he was suicidal, he wanted to kill himself. He never forgot that. This was his revenge. This was his revenge on William Regal for something that happened all those many years ago. He used him. He used him for his own advantage. He used him to get what he wanted, to become the AEW world champion. And now he has outlived his usefulness to him. He is of no use to MJF any longer. So he knocked him out. And he left him laying here at the end of the segment. And the announcers were selling this like Regal had just died. They're selling, my God, you know, he has a history of neck surgeries. He has a history of brain bleeds. I can't believe this. And they're talking in their somber voices. Tony Schiavone at one point called MJF a piece of shit for what he did. Bryan Danielson finally comes running to the ring. Only one boot on because they said he just came out of the trainer's room. He was in the trainer's room after his match with Dax Harwood. And so he was just dropped everything and ran to the ring and was kneeling beside Regal to check on Regal and just to make sure that he was okay. Regal was laying there, again, not moving. He had blood coming out of his mouth. Once they rolled him over, his mouth was all bloody. They strapped him to a gurney. There was like a hush that fell over the crowd. They got the crowd with this because the crowd was silent, but not silent in a way where they're just sort of indifferent or bored. They're just kind of shocked by what they're seeing. We don't often see a serious injury angle in this company. Not like this, and with the announcers selling it this way. We've seen angles like this in WWE. Not very often that they do this in AEW, and I thought they did a pretty good job of it here, actually. So they strapped him to a board. They carried him to the back to load him up into the ambulance and transport him to the hospital. They showed Danielson climb into the ambulance with him. So he went with one boot. He went to the hospital with Regal. And as I said at the beginning of the stream, I should have seen it coming at the end there, at the end of this segment, but I did not. And it makes perfect sense. Perfect sense for who MJF is. For what that character is, it should have been so obvious where this was going to be headed. He uses people. He befriends people, but he has no friends. He's been doing this since the first time we saw him in this company. We saw him as one of Cody Rhodes' best friends, right? Back in 2019, buddying up to Cody Rhodes until he turned on Cody because he wasn't really friends with him. He didn't need him. So we saw him do that with Cody. We saw him do that with Wardlow. As long as he and Wardlow were together, why were they together? Because he used Wardlow to do his dirty work for him. Until Wardlow got sick of it. He used the firm to win the poker chip. He used an entire faction. He used his friendship from before AEW with Stokely Hathaway to win the poker chip so that he could cash in and get a championship match. And when he got that championship match, he used William Regal and the Brass Knux to win the AEW world title. And at that point, he had no longer had any use for William Regal. That's what he does. He uses people. He's like an alien invasion where the aliens invade and they suck up all the natural resources, right? They kill everything in their path and then they move on to the next planet, right? Isn't that the way it works, right? War of the Worlds. That's what MJF is. He's a blood-sucking alien with a Burberry scarf and now a Burberry belt. So it makes perfect sense. I didn't think this was his best work on the microphone, though. He was good, but this was not one of the better MJF promos. I thought it went way longer than it had to. It was dragging after a while. Obviously, it was building to something at the end. I still think they could have gotten there a little bit quicker than they did. But it built to that big swerve at the end, and maybe to some of you it wasn't much of a swerve. But it was a swerve. I thought it was booked very well. And it just cemented what a piece of shit that this guy really is while planting the seeds for the eventual match with Bryan Danielson. So I thought that the segment accomplished what it set out to do. As far as William Regal and his future, nobody knows. Nobody knows. I saw Meltzer the other day was reporting that there's something going on with William Regal. Then he apologized the next day and said, no, I'm being told that Regal has a 3-year contract. Then he said, well, something is going on. Nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows what's going on. Here's the report from Dave Meltzer on William Regal. William Regal wants to go back to WWE, or WWE wants to have William Regal back, and you know, he may be on his way back, right? He may have only had a 1-year deal. He may be on his way back. And then the next day, oh, well, he has a 3-year deal. And then the next day, oh, well, there's definitely something going on here. Thanks, Dave. But nobody knows what's going on. It all depends on his contract, but here's the thing. He could have a 3-year contract. If he wanted to go to WWE, I mean, I think Tony Khan would be crazy to just say, okay, I'll let you go, but you know, if he wanted to leave and had an opportunity to go back to WWE that he knew about, would Tony Khan let him out of his deal early out of respect for him, thank him for the year that he gave him, and say, all right, I'm gonna let you out of your contract because I have a great deal of respect for you? Maybe he would. And also, you know, it's a case where Tony Khan was very upset a few months ago. And it was kind of lost in all the brawl out stuff at the scrum. But after, you know, Punk had his muffins and went to the back, Tony Khan stayed out there. And that was the night where he also kind of ranted about how, now I know how Jim Crockett felt, because WWE was running shows that weekend, Labor Day weekend, right? Clash at the Castle, the NXT show. He was pissed and felt that WWE was treating him badly, right? I've been nice to them, and they're basically being mean to me, and I'm not going to take this fucking shit anymore. Remember, he just popped off. So the idea that Regal maybe would want to go back to WWE and knew that he had a spot waiting for him, that would imply that somebody was telling him, hey, we want you back, we have a spot open for you. And that could be construed as tampering. So again, I find it hard to believe that if he did have a desire to go back, that Tony Khan would just let him go back. But stranger things have happened. If this is it for Regal on AEW television, he went out in the best possible way. He went out putting over the world champion, cementing MJF as the ultimate prick. He did his part. I've enjoyed Regal's time on television and him making Excalibur very uncomfortable on commentary. I'm going to miss that. And Regal, I think, could absolutely be an asset to Tony Khan behind the scenes. If I'm Tony Khan, I don't want to let William Regal go. I want to tap into him as a resource even more. I want him to be even more involved and really lean on him and have him be a sounding board for a lot of the decisions that I'm making, whether it be creatively, whether it be dealing with talent, training younger talent, giving advice to younger talent. I think William Regal is absolutely an asset to AEW. I wouldn't want to let him go. So I don't know, but it came across to me like a television write-off for him. So I'm not sure that we're going to be seeing him for quite a while on AEW TV. We had Absolute Ricky Starks out for a match against Ari Daivari. And Stokely Hathaway interrupted, walked out onto the stage with Ethan Page. All of a sudden, Matt Hardy just blows right by them, and Matt Hardy is posing for the crowd. Now, I haven't been keeping up with this storyline on Rampage or Dark or wherever it's been playing out. I didn't even realize that Matt Hardy, I guess, what is he, like a slave now of the firm? Is he owned by them? Do they have a contract? They own his contract, I guess? I don't know. I don't give a shit about this stupid story, but I guess they own him. I guess this had to do with the whole Andrade family office. Maybe they sold Matt Hardy to the firm. I don't know. It was like WWF back in the 80s when Bobby Heenan sold Hercules to Slick. They were selling people. The managers would sell people like property back and forth. That's what this is like. So Stokely basically told him, hey, what are you doing here? Get the hell out of here. You're interrupting me. You're interrupting my promo. I'm here to put over Ethan Page. And Matt Hardy, and Page told Matt Hardy, he said that we own you and you're going to help me win the Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal next week. And then Matt Hardy went to the back. He went back through the tunnel and we never saw him again. So Page cut a promo on Ricky Starks and said that after Ricky fails to win the AEW World title, a winter is coming. He's going to call his shot right now and he's basically going to cash in on his opportunity to wrestle MJF and take the diamond ring from MJF. Daivari attacks Starks from behind. Ricky, though, made a quick comeback and won very quickly with the Rochambeau. I had this at about 30 seconds, I think. And that's about as long as it should have taken him to dispose of somebody like Daivari. Gives Ricky Starks a win heading into the title match in 2 weeks, so this was fine. I will say, you know, after the MJF segment, the show really, maybe until the main event, I mean, the show fell off. There was one bad segment. The other stuff wasn't bad, but it definitely, there was a drop-off from hour one to hour two. Some good stuff like the Joe match and even the women's match. I'm going to talk about that here in a second. But there was a definite drop off in quality here from hour one to hour two. Tony Schiavone was in the back with Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter, and Rebel. Baker brought up the sit-down interview that Renee is going to be doing with Saraya on Rampage this Friday. Jamie Hayter had a suggestion for Tony Schiavone. How about you sit down with me? I'm the AEW Women's World Champion. And I thought to myself, it's a pretty good idea. So they're going to be doing a sit-down with Tony Schiavone and Jamie Hayter on TV next week. But this was also another segment where Britt Baker had to control things. And when Tony Schiavone was introducing them, it was Britt Baker who cut in and was hogging up all the attention, which seems to be a recurring pattern in these segments, which I would hope is not just, you know, them having Britt Baker hog up all the spotlight for nothing, but obviously eventually Jamie Hayter is going to be like, hey, I'm the champ, you should let me do the talking. And we'll see a little bit of friction there between the two of them. We had Anna Jay with Ty Mello in her corner against Willow Nightingale, who has the most upbeat, peppiest music in all of wrestling. I know it's infectious when she comes out to the ring. You just want to start dancing, right? You just want to start dancing when Willow comes down to the ring. She's so happy. She makes the crowd so happy when she comes out. Anna landed a neck breaker from the middle rope, heading into the picture-in-picture. When they came back, Anna went for the Queen Slayer sleeper hold. Willow avoided it, and Nightingale set up for her finish, but she was distracted by Ty Mello climbing up onto the apron. So she distracted her. Nightingale knocked Mello off the apron to the floor. Willow won the match with the Doctor Bomb. Not a bad match, and Willow is great. Willow had the crowd behind her in this match. And this is not something that we normally see in these women's matches that they just kind of throw out there in the second hour of the show. Half of it takes place in picture. There's really no build up to it. Maybe, you know, half the time there might be a woman in the match who isn't even regularly featured on the show and doesn't have any kind of recurring role on the show. It's hard for the fans to care, and it's hard for the fans to really get behind them. But Willow had the fans behind her because she's really good. And I said that when she was first making appearances for AEW, I said, she's somebody I hope they sign. I'd like to see more of her. And then they did. They brought her in. And to her credit, you know, she has the fans behind her most of the time when I'm watching her. And so she had the crowd behind her here in this match, chanting her name. So after the match is over, the heels were about to leave when we hear Ruby Soho's music. Anna Jay leaves the ring. Ty Mello is all by herself in the ring, and she's looking at the entranceway, and she's saying, come on, right? She's waiting for Ruby to come out. And they had the tight camera shot, which was a dead giveaway because they don't want you to see that Ruby is in the ring standing behind her. And eventually, Ty realized it. She slowly turned around, and there was Ruby Soho in the ring standing behind her. And Ruby double-legged her down to the mat, laid in some punches. Mello tried to leave. Ruby got her on the ramp and delivered her destination unknown finish on the ramp. Great to see Ruby back from her broken nose. That was a pretty gnarly injury. I'm surprised she didn't break her neck. She's very, very lucky that that was all that she broke. So I'm very happy to see her back, and that'll be that's another name now for them to be able to use on television in that women's division. And she got a nice reaction. She grew up in Lafayette, I think only about 60 miles up the road from where they were tonight. So she got a nice kind of hometown reaction. Let me take a moment here to let you all know that today's episode is sponsored by our friends at BetterHelp Online Therapy. You know, there's a lot of times in my life where I wish I had a user manual to guide me on what I should be doing. Life doesn't work that way. And when it's not working for you, believe me, it's normal to feel stuck. Therapists are trained to help you try to get to the root of what is causing whatever emotions that you may be dealing with and teach you how to cope, which makes therapy the next best thing to a step-by-step how-to in the game of life. Not the board game, although I have played that too when I was a kid. I wasn't very good at it. BetterHelp has connected over 3 million people with licensed therapists. It's convenient, secure, and accessible from anywhere, 100% online. Therapy can help you learn valuable skills to overcome the challenges that you're dealing with and help you deal with trauma in your life. You don't want to let these things fester. It's better to tackle these problems now so that you're better off later. This is why I think BetterHelp is a great option for so many people. So many of you have written into the show telling me that you have never even heard of BetterHelp until I started mentioning it, and you've tried it, and you've had positive experiences with it, which is what I love to hear. BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service and has all the benefits of in-person therapy, plus it's more affordable, more convenient, and more accessible. No more driving to someone's office, trying to find parking, sitting in a waiting room for an hour. All you have to do is fill out a short questionnaire to match with a therapist, and if things for whatever reason aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. If you're feeling stuck, get unstuck with BetterHelp. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/solomonster. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/solomonster. Tony Schiavone was in the back interviewing Orange Cassidy and QT Marshall and noted that they agreed to no physicality. Things are so bad in this company, right? We've heard all the backstage stories. So now on TV, they have the wrestlers agree, no physicality, right? Because they can't trust them. So he thanked them for agreeing to that stipulation. Marshall tried to ask for a shot at the AEW All-Atlantic title, which Cassidy had halfway out of a backpack that he was holding. Before Marshall could even finish his request, Orange Cassidy's like, yeah, whatever. Sure, whatever. And then Marshall said that, I want to make this match a lumberjack match. And again, Cassidy was like, yeah, sure, lumberjack match, sounds good to me. And he walked away. And QT was very upset because people keep interrupting him, and then Tony Schiavone interrupted him to end the segment. Shout out to Joshua Edwards, who just gifted a Sound Off membership here on the channel. He just gifted a membership to Juan Ocampo. So thank you very much, Joshua Edwards, gifting a membership. You can gift memberships to other people here, although I think you can only do it on PC. I don't believe you can do it on mobile. But Joshua, thank you for that. So then we had Jade Cargill, and this was the worst segment on the show. And I didn't actually think that what, you know, Jade was saying or her delivery was bad. It was just a very dumb segment. We had Jade out there in the ring for what was billed as a TBS championship celebration. Now that she has her belt back and she beat Nyla Rose at Full Gear, this was going to be her big party. She came out there with Red Velvet and Layla Gray. Jade said that, and she was wearing this amazing outfit. She had dollar bills on her, in her part of her outfit, her design. She said that she got rid of the trash last week, referring to Kiera Hogan, who was bounced out of the baddies. She said that it's a blessing to stand next to her. And she was raking the other two over the coals for not helping her. Where were you? And my TBS title was, you know, missing for all this time. So she said it's a blessing to stand next to her. She told the two of them to get in line or they'll be next. She says she's the star of the company. Nobody has her face. Nobody has her body. Nobody has her aura. She said that she puts asses in seats and said that Lil Bow Wow is a joke. So the promo was okay, right? It was going along okay. And then she threw in the line about Bow Wow. Now, they've been doing this social media shit. And I understand, you know, a little Bow Wow, right? He's got a name in music and all that. Good for him. But they're doing this angle where they've been calling each other out on social media. I don't give a shit about any of this. I don't give a shit about Bow Wow. I don't give a shit about their social media back and forth. Who cares, right? So now they're going to turn this into an angle on TV that I'm guessing is going to lead to a match. Because Bow Wow in the past has talked about wanting to train to become a wrestler and, again, I think he may have either trained or talked about going to train with Rikishi or something, and it just, I don't know if it ever happened. Maybe his training will be like Paige Van Zandt, who showed up one day to train with Gangrel and then never showed up again. Right? Real go-getter. Paige Van Zandt. Really interested in the professional wrestling business. Maybe this will end up the same way. As soon as she mentioned Bow Wow, called him a joke, wouldn't you know? A pre-taped promo popped up on the Jumbotron from Bow Wow. It's almost like magic, right? Almost like on cue. So Bow Wow appeared, And he said that time is money and he's all about money. He says he's got a lot of time on his hands now that he has done touring. And he said that he would see Jade very soon. This sucked. I have no interest in this. Now, if Bow Wow is going to show up on TV and is going to talking about money, right? I'm all about money. I've got money. Maybe the idea is that he is paying to have someone else wrestle Jade and try to take the TBS championship from Jade. Maybe he's paying for someone new to come into the company. Who that person could be, I don't know. We could speculate. My fear is that that's not what's going on here, and they're actually going to build to some sort of a match or a confrontation between Jade and Bow Wow, and maybe some people are excited for that. I'm not one of those people. So I have absolutely no interest in any of this, and this segment for me was a complete waste of time. Which brings us to the main event, which was match number 3 in the best of 7 series between Death Triangle and the Elite for the Trios Championship. Death Triangle came into this match tonight up 2-0. So the Elite had to win this match, or else it would just be impossible for them to come back, basically. So with the best of 7, you know, the challenge with something like this is to make the matches feel different enough that they don't just come off as a complete and total repeat of the one that came before it. And this one kind of did anyway, because you had a lot of the same moves, right? It's a lot of the same crazy dives and the super kicks and the rolling Germans and the reverse. It's the same, a lot of the same sequence of maneuvers that we had in the first two matches, right? It's like their greatest hits. So we had all the greatest hits, but what they did here tonight was they tried to change it up in the first half by making it more of a brawl. So what you had here, the Elite, they're still coming out to Carry On Wayward Son by Kansas. They came out first. Death Triangle came out second, as they should, because they're the champions. They get attacked on stage by the Elite. The Elite attack them on stage. Before the bell even rings, before the match begins, we have a big brawl on stage. Omega hit, I believe it was Pac, with a Kataro Crusher on stage. The Bucks then had Pac at the bottom of the ramp, down on his knees. They were holding him. Kenny Omega was all the way up on stage, and the idea was that he's going to charge all the way down the ramp, and he's going to hit him with a V-trigger. So here comes Kenny Omega. He starts running, not very fast, but he starts running down the ramp. It wasn't that long of a ramp. Running down the ramp, trying for the V-trigger, and Pac catches him with a super kick as he comes in. The Lucha Bros took out the Bucks with somersault cutters on the ramp. All 6 men ended up brawling over by the entrance area. Pac hit a moonsault off the stage, and the Bucks hit Penta and Phoenix with dueling power bombs on the edge of the apron. Apron bombs. Finally, they rang the bell to signal the start of the match. Rick Knox got flattened by a super kick from Matt Jackson, which is good. Maybe it'll knock some sense into him. Penta wiped out the Elite with a somersault dive. Alex Abrahantes was there. And Alex handed Penta the ball peen hammer, which we've seen in both of the first two matches here in this best of 7 series. The hammer has come into play. Phoenix, though, when Penta went to go use the hammer, Phoenix went to grab it out of his hand and tried to stop him. And Penta didn't like that very much. Penta shoved his brother. Penta goes to use the hammer. Phoenix stops him, pays the price for it, because now here comes Kenny Omega, who catches him with a V-trigger. Penta ate a double super kick and a snapdragon. The Elite had a little miscommunication in here. They hit Omega with a double kick. Death Triangle hit triple dives. Penta hit Omega with the Fear Factor, spike pile driver for a near fall. Omega and Pac, they fought up on the top rope before Pac hit a headbutt with his protective mask and then hit an avalanche falcon arrow for 2. Omega got isolated during the final commercial break until Pac hit a snap German, which Omega no-sold, into a lariat before collapsing. Phoenix tried a double crossbody on the Bucks. They caught him and hit more bang for your buck. Pac and Penta, they put a stop to the BTE trigger as Omega fought them both off until Phoenix flew in with a rolling cutter. Double stomp Fear Factor on Nick Jackson connects. Lucha Bros took out Omega and Matt Jackson outside, and Pac got a 2 count on Nick after a brainbuster. Do you follow? Right? It's just one right after the other. Boom, 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 boom. Rapid fire moves here in this match. Lucha Brothers held Nick and Kenny from making the save as Pac went for the Black Arrow. But on his way down from the Black Arrow, Matt Jackson got his knees up and he rolled up Pac for the win. And the Elite finally get a W here, a much needed W here in this best of seven series. Again, you can't have them go down 3-0 and have them make the Red Sox 2004 comeback on the Yankees here, because that would just be too obvious. Even though it's pretty clear this thing's going to go at least six and probably the full seven matches. The Elite needed to win this match. They did. They still had some time, so they had Kenny Omega take the microphone, and he talked about how there is not going to be a sweep with the cleaner involved, and he did his usual goodbye and goodnight. And that was how they took us off the air tonight. So the series is now 2-1 in favor of Death Triangle heading into match number 4, which will not be happening for another 2 weeks until winter is coming in Texas on December 14th. That'll be match number 4. Rampage this Friday has Renee sitting down with Saraya. Orange Cassidy defends the All-Atlantic title against QT Marshall in a lumberjack match. Darby Allin takes on Cole Carter. Who? Cole Carter of the Factory. And we're going to hear from Swerve in Our Glory. Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal take on Private Party, and we'll hear from the Acclaimed and Daddy S, who had a brief segment on the show tonight where they were pretending that Daddy S was a drill sergeant. And both members of the Acclaimed were standing there at attention, and it was a comedy segment talking about how they were going to challenge the best team in AEW. And Billy Gunn said, "How are you going to challenge the best team in AEW when you're the best team in AEW?" And they corrected themselves and said the second best team. So we don't know who that's going to be. But that'll be on Rampage on Friday. Dynamite next Monday, or next Wednesday. I'll get it right one of these days. Dynamite, I do streams on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, sometimes Saturday. I don't know which way is up and which way is down. Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal next Wednesday. We know Ricky Starks is in there. We know Ethan Page is in there, as well as Matt Hardy. They show Jungle Boy in the graphic. A few other people, including Sean Dean. I'm telling you, he's the wild card here. Captain Sean Dean. Keep your eye out for him. Tony Schiavone is going to interview the AEW Women's Champion, Jamie Hayter. And we have Claudio and Wheeler Yuta teaming up to take on the pure champion, Daniel Garcia and Jake Bucket Hat Hager. That is your Dynamite lineup for next week. Which, as I look at this lineup, is not a very inspiring lineup. But we'll see what messages they post on Twitter during the week to announce new matches, if they put anything really appealing on this show next week. Here's the Twitter poll. 68.5% of you said that Dynamite tonight, the November 30th edition, was a thumbs up. 17.7% thumbs down, and 13% thumbs down. 17% thumbs in the middle, 13% thumbs down. This is what I get for looking at the chat at the same time. That's right. Next Monday on Dynamite. I sound like Jim Ross. I take that as a compliment. Anyway, at Solomonster, you guys can vote. You know the drill. Go ahead and go do the deal. Go do the deal. Whatever the deal is, you go do it. You go do the deal. I'm going to do my deal right now. I'm going to go through your super chats. If you want to send any messages on in, now is the time to go ahead and do that. If you would like to support the channel, I very much appreciate that. Your super chats are certainly the most direct way that you can support here on the channel. And we're going to begin with Joshua Edwards, who I believe Joshua Edwards was the one who gifted the channel membership to Juan earlier. Joshua says 11,682 minutes of Solomonster this year. I thought it was great until I saw Chris Manson's number. Damn, maybe next year. Yeah, I don't think anybody is beating out Chris Manson this year. 27,000 minutes of the sound off, that's dedication right there. That's something to aspire to. It was very cool to get so many messages today with the sound off in the top spot over some of your favorite wrestler podcasts. So, you guys are awesome. We've got Mr. Backshots here, $5 super chat. I remember you saying that you would be super high on a heel, Bianca Belair. What type of heel would you book her like? Vicious like a Brock or cocky like Rock? Cocky like Rock. I think cocky like Rock, and I think at some point you put her and Montez Ford together, you got yourselves a power couple right there on TV. I said that a year and a half ago. Dick the Cock Johnson, Eddie Kingston beating MJF will get a monster pop. It would if it were to ever happen, but it's not going to. Joseph Brooks with the $4.99. What, in your opinion, are the three greatest feuds to never end or at least have a singles match at WrestleMania? I don't know about the three greatest, but I will tell you one that jumps out at me is the Shield and the Wyatt family. How we never got a WrestleMania match between those two teams so close to WrestleMania is a sin. That should have been the WrestleMania 30 match. Shield and the Wyatt should have been a WrestleMania 30 instead of what they did with Wyatt and John Cena. Food Hive with the $4.99. I was happy about the amount of time the women's segments got. Not everything was focused on a title. There were separate stories to go around. Bliss fan wants to know in the chat, what is the 27 club that Chris Manson is talking about? Bliss fan, that is in reference to the 27,000 minutes that he spent on Spotify listening to various sound off streams this year. The main show, the audio of the streams. So that is what that is in reference to. Winston Smith, what is your favorite guest referee match? Are you talking about specifically the guest referee or just the favorite match that happened to have a guest referee? Because one of my favorite guest referee matches is Steve Austin and Dude Love at Over the Edge in 98 that had Vince McMahon as the guest referee. It's one of my favorite matches. Holy shit, look at Justin. Oh my God, Justin, you know, normally I would reserve this for the super chats, but holy shit, you deserve a yes chant. He just gifted 5 channel memberships to Brock Benningfield, EJ Slamp, Turtlehead, Juan Mena, Bear Wolf, and MH Nova. Christmas has come early on the Sound Off channel thanks to Justin. Justin brought his giant sack. He is giving out gifts to everybody from his sack. Everybody thank Justin. That is amazing. You love to see it. This is the season of giving. Oofman Entertainment with the $10 super chat. Greetings, Salamonster. I am watching live from Guatemala City, Guatemala. Came to handle some personal business since my dad passed away, and there was no way I was going to miss your recap. Well, Oofman, I'm very sorry to hear about your father. That's awful. That's terrible. But I'm glad that you seem to be in good spirits. And watching live from Guatemala, that's pretty awesome. But again, my condolences. I'm very sorry to hear that. The Phenom with the $7 super chat. I wish that MJF segment would have been more nuclear. It felt like there was a flat reaction. Yeah, that's why I said it. It dragged on for too long. The reaction at the end was pitch perfect. It was more shock over what he did to Regal. But up to that point, the segment just went too long. It didn't have to go as long as it did. There was nothing biting, you know, about what he was saying. We've had some really biting MJF promos before, where he just comes out guns blazing. Tonight was not one of those nights. But I agree. I agree. There was something missing here. Joshua Edwards, not one to be topped. He's already gifted one channel membership tonight. He saw what Justin did and said, I'll top you. I'll do you one better. And Joshua Edwards just gifted 10 memberships to people who are in the chat here tonight. Holy shit. Wow. I don't know what to say, but we got a lot of people thanking Joshua for that. He just dropped a bomb on everybody in the chat. Oh boy. That's right. Marcus says Christmas came early. It's not even December yet. We just passed Thanksgiving. Christmas has come early. The Phenom. Thank you again for the $7. Man, we got this the Ultimate Warrior is popping up on the screen so many times I can't even see the super chats. Look at this. He's shaking the rope so much he's going to throw up all over the screen. Shin Super Kick Akuma. This week's episode inspired the new name. I see the new name. Shin Super Kick Your Eye Out. Akuma. Yes. All the old school wrestlers, man, they love their stories about kicking eyes out of skulls and gouging them out of people's skulls. You hear these stories so much, you would think that half the wrestlers from 40 years ago are walking around with a patch over their eye like a pirate. Funny thing, a lot of these guys, I can't find photos of them with their one eye. I guess maybe they had an eye transplant and they had a new one put in. Graham, if you click the join button below the video, which you should see, it will tell you some of the perks of channel membership. So there are perks. There are sometimes bonus videos, bonus audio. All that information is when you click the join button. It won't automatically join you. You don't have to worry about that. Just click it. It will give you the information there. And then you can decide. Giftomania is running wild, according to Alberto Ortiz. Hey, we saw 5. We have 10. Do I hear 15? MattView72, awesome dynamite for my birthday. Can I get a birthday shout out from the one and only Solomonster on my 26th? MattView, happy birthday, buddy. I hope you have the best birthday that you've ever had. I hope you have a fantastic birthday. Did he just drop another? Did I miss that? This chat is going crazy here. And I think that Joshua Edwards just gifted another 10 memberships. I want you to know, I mean, as much as I'm like laughing and I think this is fantastic, we have set a new record for channel memberships now. Because from where we were before with all the memberships that you've added, we have now set a new record for channel memberships on the channel. And so I am blown away by that. Rizzo just coming in now with 5 more gifted memberships. Gifting 5 more to people in the live chat. What is that for? I've lost track. How many is that for tonight? Is that 30? 30 or 35, I think, new channel memberships? Now, I'm not sure how this works. I think that they may only be temporary. So, you know, hopefully, you know, people, you know, whenever the period runs out on these, because I do think they're temporary, and then you would have to renew on your own if you want to. I'm sure everybody won't. Not everybody will renew on their own, but I hope that you do. I hope that you enjoy your time here on the channel and that you will stick around when your temporary membership is over. But thank you, man. This is, wow. There's a lot of green in that chat. I love it. You're giving the Ultimate Warrior a workout here on the screen tonight. This guy's going to be dripping sweat by the time this thing's over. Are you kidding me? This guy was dripping sweat the minute he got out of bed in the morning. Sean D. A while down the line, I would like to see Samoa Joe against MJF for their world title. Is it for 1 month? Yeah, I think it's a 1 month membership, but then again, you would have to decide if you want to continue. So just keep that in mind. But remember, hey, all you new channel members, guess what? You guys have access to all the new or the custom emotes. So let me see those emojis in the chat, because you have access to those now. Oh my goodness. Grimsley with the $5 super chat said, hope all is well. Been watching for what seems like years. You are always fantastic. Always feels like home here. P.S. Omos will win the Royal Rumble. You know, I'm going to blame you now if that happens. Omos ain't winning nothing. Omos is winning absolutely nothing. Chris Minor, buy or sell MJF's new belt or Daniel Bryan's hemp belt? Oh, I can't vote against the hemp belt. The hemp belt was special. Remember, Daniel Bryan broke the news to me on the Sound Off when we interviewed him WrestleMania weekend back in 2012. When he made the comment during the interview that we did with him at Radio Row that he might, if he were to retain his World Heavyweight title at WrestleMania, which he did not, he lost it in 18 seconds, but he might have to get a hemp belt. And then years later, it took a while, but years later, we had the hemp belt. You heard it on the podcast first. Yeah, I know. Spencer, I know. The Ultimate Warrior has never appeared on the screen as much as he is tonight. It's crazy. Dick the Cock Johnson with the $4.99 conspiracy theory time. Oh, look, wait, hold on a second here. Joshua Edwards. Soloception. Look at me, a box in a box. Joshua Edwards with the $25 Hardy Monster Super Chat. I love that shirt. Hardy Monster Super Chat. Putting a Sound Off skull. Unfortunately, it didn't pop up on the screen there. But it popped up in the chat. He was using one of the emojis. Thank you, brother. Conspiracy theory time. Jade out there dressed in money. Bow Wow was given his name by Snoop. Calls him his Uncle Snoop's cousin is... Yeah, I've thought about that. But I don't believe Sasha Banks is going to be coming to AEW. That would be huge. That would be huge. If Sasha Banks were to walk out as a surprise and challenge Jade Cargill, that would be huge. But I would be very surprised to see that happen. Clapstick 77, best there ever was, Sala Monster or OTRS Central. Jeff's a good guy. Shout out to Jeff. I don't wanna pick and choose. You're asking me to vote on something with me in it, which seems kind of biased, but shout out to Jeff. Jeff's a good guy. Sean D. $5 super chat. It's nice to hear you speak about something you're so passionate about in a good way. Isn't it great when wrestling is firing on all cylinders? James, I hope you are having a wonderful night as well. James Hayes in the chat. I wouldn't say that everything is firing on all cylinders. I wouldn't go that far. But yes, it is obviously a lot more fun to talk about wrestling and talk about these angles and these storylines when you can really enjoy them and when there's a lot to be excited about. And yeah, there are things to definitely be excited about, but I wouldn't say it's firing on all cylinders. But yes, it is obviously going to be more enjoyable that way. Rizzo with the $20 super chat drop. Rizzo, you are a beast. I have to agree with you about your take wrestling rumors with a grain of salt. Dave on one day says Regal has months left and knew the date. Then says he has 3 years left. Why do that angle if he has 3 years left? I mean, it could just be a way to write him off TV because they don't want to use him as a manager. Right? I mean, it doesn't mean that he can't come back. I watched what they did tonight, and it just looks to me like a write-off and that he may be leaving the company to end up going back to WWE. That's how it looks like to me. You know, one thing Meltzer did say is there's basically smoke to the fire. There's something going on with respect to Regal, and what that is, we don't know, but that's exactly how that angle played out to me tonight. Regal is not going to be seen on television anymore. Shout out to Justin, who just gifted yet another channel membership to Sean D in the chat. So Sean D now is a new Sound Off channel member. Welcome to Sean. Michael Darcy. Can I get a Jeff Hardy Willow? Yes, you can. For that super chat, yes, you can. And you know who else can get a shout out? Joshua Edwards can get a shout out because Joshua Edwards just dropped a $50 super chat with my head and it says solo head on screen. But in the chat, you see there's my little tiny head there. Joshua Edwards with the $50 super chat drop. Joshua, I salute you, sir. That's amazing. Wow. Hey, you guys are, I don't know what is going on tonight, but you guys, that's right. You guys are the real MVPs tonight. Mr. LH just became a channel member thanks to Justin Hess, dropping yet another membership here on the channel. You know what's going to end up happening. Like, this channel number is going to be, like, way up. And then, like, a month from now, I'm going to be like, what the fuck? Why did it drop so much? Anyway, thank you, though. Thank you, Justin. Hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully you guys will stick around and you will choose to continue to be members on your own. Rizzo, though, thank you again for the $20. Michael Darcy, you got your Willow. I hope I lived up to it. I hope I lived up to the lofty expectations that you have of my Willow impression. Oh my god. Oh my god, I haven't heard that in so long. I have not heard that in so long. It is Mantar. It is the $75 Mantar Super Chat that used to scare the shit out of me. Joshua Edwards dropping a Christmas tree emoji. Happy holidays to you, my friend. Man, I haven't seen Mantar in so long. I forgot he was even there. That was from our New Year's stream a couple of years ago. I did the New Year's Eve stream. Actually, we've done that the last 2 years. We've hung out together on New Year's Eve, and I'm thinking that we'll probably make it again, right? We'll make it a little tradition here. I'm thinking maybe we'll hang out again on New Year's Eve. What do you guys think? What would you guys think of a New Year's Eve stream for the third straight year here on the channel? We'll see. We have a month to decide. Hulkling 93. I've been laughing. Rizzo says the Mantar scares the crap out of me. Good. That's why I put him in there. Those $75 ones don't pop up too often, but when they do, they catch you off guard, don't they? Hulkling says, I've been laughing at Mox's fall for the past 3 hours. Also, Bow Wow. He wrote Bow Bow. It's not Bow Bow. It's Bow Wow. Bow Wow came across stalkerish. Call Stabler and Benson. See, here's my theory about Bow Wow. And I don't blame him at all. I think Bow Wow has a thing for Jake. So I think you're onto something here with the stalker stuff. I think he's just madly in love with this woman. And he doesn't want to come fight Jade. He wants to be with Jade. So yeah, Stabler and Benson, they may have to be called here. We may have to put a phone call in here to SVU. Although no crime yet has been committed. So SVU, we don't need SVU yet. Hopefully we won't need SVU. SVU is after the crime has already been committed. Joshua Edwards with the $25 super chat from earlier with the sound off skull. EJ Slamp with the $4.99. Thanks for answering my question on the sound off last week. You're very welcome. This year has had some really awful stuff. So what is this year's most disgusting tactic? Well, earlier today, I saw that there was an independent promotion that is going to be having Teddy Hart on their show, and they actually have him featured dead center right in the middle of their event poster. I'd say that's a pretty disgusting tactic. Capitalizing off of his documentary that did not paint him, from what I understand, because I haven't watched it yet, in the best light. That's the first one off the top of my head. I'm sure there have been others. Joshua Edwards, again, thank you for the $50 super chat bomb, and then following that up with a $75 super chat, a bigger bomb. Rizzo with the $10 super chat. I agree with Regal possibly being on the way out because Triple H definitely was tampering with his War Games tweet, which made me think he knew Regal is coming back. That was a little suspect, him posting that tweet. I said on Sunday, he wants his buddy back. He wants his buddy back. He misses him. Is it safe? Is it safe to go away here from the Super Chat slide? Man, you gave the Ultimate Warrior quite the workout tonight. The Ultimate Warrior is going to collapse and... Well, I shouldn't say that. That's actually... Oops. I was going to say so. I caught myself, though. Caught myself. Where are we on the... I haven't even checked. To see on the life scroll. Wow. Well, I will tell you before we smashed the goal for tonight, by the way. So we are going to be doing Be the Booker here in a moment. Although I'm having too much fun just hanging out with all you guys. So I don't know about that, but I will tell you that you guys have set an all-time record here on this channel for one night. And of course, a lot of it has to do with about two or three people who have been very generous tonight, but we have added 35 new channel members here in one night on one stream. And that is by far a new record. So give yourselves a round of applause, especially Justin and Joshua and those who have gifted memberships. 35 new memberships. In my eye. And look at this, with a tear in his eye. Ric Flair, the 1992 Ric Flair Super Chat. Justin, again, Justin Hess. Best fan base in wrestling. Goddamn right. Absolutely. And I thought that earlier. Oh my God. Is that another one? Oh my God. There, 2020. See, there it is. To hell with 2020. It was from the New Year's stream in 2020. The $75 Mantar Super Chat. One time was not good enough. We needed it a second time. That is the second $75 Super Chat that Joshua has dropped here on the stream tonight. You have awoken the beast. Mantar has been laying dormant. He has been in his cave. He has been hibernating. You have awoken the beast. Oh my God. Wow. Well, I was saying what Justin was saying, best fan base in wrestling. I mean, I was just telling you guys before about all the tweets I've been getting all day with the Spotify Unwrapped stuff and how great it was to see people talking about the thousands of hours that they've listened to the Sound Off this year and to see the Sound Off on a lot of those charts in the number one spot over some other pretty big heavy hitters. And so that means a lot to me. But then you guys came out tonight and just fucking, I mean, you took it to the next level here. Rizzo has a $5 super chat, says, conspiracy theory time. Joshua Edwards is Professor John Gotti and had to change his name due to legal and safety reasons. I think the professor may have had to go into witness protection. He may have had to change his name. He has reemerged here as Joshua or Justin, either one. I think he may be onto something here. Well, as I was saying before, the goal tonight, I set a modest goal for Be the Booker. I was thinking 400, and I said, we'll do 350. And now I see that we have officially passed 500 likes. So we smashed the goal, and so you know what that means. I hate to pull myself away from this party here, but let's continue this with some Be the Booker. Let's go and do it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let's go and do it right now.
Time to be the Booker.
When you hear the voice, the sultry, dulcet tones of Noah Mark there for the introduction to Be the Booker, you know that it's a good night. Because you know that we have smashed our goal for the night. You know, I have noticed that the vast majority of the names now in the chat are green. You all have badges next to your name. That's how I know I could tell the channel members apart from the non-members. We have a great deal of green in the chat. I love to see it. I love it. Love it. All right, we're going to begin as we usually do. We'll start out with the men. We're going to be booking three matches here. I'm feeling good. I'm in a good mood. I've got some good energy. We've got to book some good matches. We're going to start things out here with the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson. I am loving where this is going. Bryan Danielson. Oh, my God. Look at this. Kyle B. just gifted a channel membership. He's like, I don't want to be left out of this party here. He just gifted a channel membership to Alberto Ortiz. So, Alberto, welcome to the family. Bryan Danielson. It'd be hard to pick somebody that would give him a bad match. Bryan Danielson going to go one-on-one with Hulk Hogan. Have you all seen, I'm sure many of you have you all seen the tweet that has been shared? And I saw this video years ago. But it's been going around the Twitter sphere for the last 48 hours. Highlights of a match that Hulk Hogan had with Tenryu in Japan many years ago, back in the early 90s. And I saw the comments under it. People were amazed. They didn't even know that that version of Hulk Hogan existed. And it's true. You had two different Hulk Hogans. You had the American Hulk Hogan and you had the Japanese Hulk Hogan. And the Japanese Hulk Hogan would do things like drop toe holds and enziguris to the back of the head that you would not see Hogan do here in the U.S. Hogan and Bryan Danielson, I think, again, this old version of Hogan here would actually be a pretty fun match. I think we all know how the match would end, but I think that would be a pretty fun match. So much fun that I'm giving it a second belt. So we're off to a rip-roaring start here. We move on to the ladies. Justin just dropped a $7 super chat to say, have a great night, everybody. Justin, I don't know if you're headed out or not, but Justin, sincerely, thank you, brother. You have made this a very memorable, very fun night here on the stream, not just for me, but for everybody. So, Justin, I thank you. We got even, well, look at that, I can't even keep up. We got even more super chats coming in. Let's do the ladies here. Let's do the women. That's my idea of a good night here. Let's do the women. Here we go. We begin with Raquel Rodriguez. Raquel Rodriguez, who, of course, had her arm broken by Ronda Rousey on SmackDown last week. Let's see who Raquel is going to be stepping into the ring with. We have Raquel going one on. Who is this? The Ultimate Warrior. Is that the Ultimate Warrior is blocking my screen here. Couldn't even. I was like, is that Eve? I couldn't even tell. Wait a minute. Why is the Warrior popping up so much? Do we get more memberships here? Oh, we did. Look at this. I didn't even see it. I was like, why is the Ultimate Warrior still popping up? Joshua Edwards gifting 5 more channel memberships. Gifting channel memberships to Silver Dollar 1989, Winston Smith, TJ Johnson, Boomerang, and Nebaz Rodriguez. Welcome to the potty, pal. Joshua, my goodness. Joshua and Justin, the ultimate tag team. The Brothers of Destruction. I'm going to call you two the Brothers of Destruction after tonight. Eve Torres, I have to tell you that I thought, and I still do think, that Eve is one of the more just naturally beautiful women that WWE has ever had on their roster. You know, and again, from an era with the Divas and everything, and she was doing a lot of the stuff they had the Divas doing, and it was all about, you know, the swimsuit calendars and all the stuff they were doing. But she was involved in some key angles as well. You know, the stuff with Zack Ryder and John Cena. I think Eve was a beautiful woman. She got married, I think, to, is it Henner Gracie? I believe. So it's Eve against Raquel, and I'm going to give that the bell. Because Eve actually is another one, like Candice Michelle, I felt like Eve got significantly better than when she first came into the company. So I think that actually has the potential to be a pretty good match. We're 2 for 2 so far. I like where this is headed, because we still have Tag Team Be the Booker left to do. It's Bratty Solomonster, who's about to blow his friend away. Look at this. Oh, that's awful. Is that politically correct in today's day and age? Because I don't give a shit. I love that super chat. Plus, Ultra Adrian with the $50 super chat drop says, I want in on this party. Come on in. I just unhooked the red velvet rope for you. I'm moving you to the front of the line. You get to cut the line tonight. Here we go. Tag team, be the booker. I'm feeling good. Man, I wish I was in Vegas right now. I'd be playing the slots. I'd be playing roulette. We begin with the British Bulldogs, Davey Boy Smith and Dynamite Kid, former WWF Tag Team Champions, one of the greatest tag teams of the 1980s, classic matches with the Hart Foundation. We've got the British Bulldogs taking on who? Who's it going to be? British Bulldogs against Trent Beretta and Rocky Romero. Not a main event, but I actually think that would be a very good match. Trent Beretta and Rocky Romero against the British Bulldogs. You open a pay-per-view with that match, right? Have that as like your pay-per-view opener. I got to give that the belt. And you know what that means? That means we had a bell for all three matches tonight. That means that we had a clean sweep here tonight on Be the Booker. A clean sweep. Not even Death Triangle is going to have a clean sweep in the Best of Seven series, but we had one here tonight on the Sound Off stream. Roppongi Vice and the British Bulldogs. So thank you for killing it on the likes, because again, we smashed our goal. We're closing it on 520 likes, and hopefully many more to come once this stream is over and it goes up in the archives for people to check out later tonight. So let's see here. I got a whole bunch of super chats that I'm backlogged on, so I want to make sure I don't miss anybody. Boots. Good to hear from Boots. $5 super chat. If a title is only defended on pay-per-view, does it make the title more or less prestigious? I think it makes it more prestigious. Alberto Ortiz, connection between wrestling and Waffle House. There are a great number of stories, wrestling stories, that seem to focus on Waffle House, and it doesn't sound like anything good ever happens there. I have shared with you on the podcast, as part of this whole Tales from the Territories thing, I shared with you the Macho Man Waffle House story, which almost led to a murder. Paul Bearer used to tell the Waffle House story, being at a Waffle House with Undertaker. Owen Hart dropped cucumbers in his drink, like at the bottom of his drink when he wasn't looking. Undertaker apparently hates cucumbers. They used to say that he was afraid of cucumbers. Undertaker denies that he is afraid of them. He just doesn't like them. But just goes to show you that nothing good ever happens at Waffle House. Rizzo, next Saturday, will you be going live after the NXT PLE and Ring of Honor pay-per-view, or just doing a podcast? Good night, solo, and chat. Thank you, Rizzo. Right now, probably not, just because I'm going to be out that day. I'm going to be out during the day. I have no idea when I'm going to be home. I'm not expecting to be home too late. So if there was anything, there would be an NXT stream, not a Ring of Honor stream, but most likely I would just save it for the podcast the next day. I just don't know when I'm going to be home. I'm going to be out in Queens, actually 2 weekends in a row, because the following weekend is House of Glory. That's Moo. Also in Queens.
Moo.
Moo! Moo! Move on over, ladies and gentlemen. It is JM dropping the $100 Super Chat bomb on us here. JM, where have you been? JM wanted to get in on this party. Oh my God. Oh my God. JM says, in honor of Jade Cargill tonight, here is a super chat. Dropping a bomb for Jade Cargill. I made the comment about what she was wearing tonight with the dollar bills on her outfit and everything. I always compliment Jade on what she's wearing. She on all the pay-per-views, she's always cosplaying as some kind of character. So she came out there as Chitara from Thundercats on the Full Gear show. And I loved it because, again, I grew up a fan of the Thundercats. And I will tell you that Chitara never looked so good as she did at Full Gear. So I will take that bomb in honor of Jade Cargill. JM, you are the mother of all beasts. Believe it or not, out of all of the super chats and everything, JM actually has the crown. He's got the crown for the super chats tonight. JM, he was very bothered by this. He said, I got to get in on this. I can't let other people steal my thunder. Wow. It's hard to top that. Plus Ultra Adrian, again, thank you. That's from earlier. He wanted to get in on the party. We've got Food Hive says, catering again, missing the stream. What was for dinner? Oh, I'm glad you actually asked, because I finally came into the 21st century. My toaster oven went to the heavens where the toaster ovens go. It started smoking the other day. I said, that's probably not a good sign. So I decided to get an air fryer for the first time. All I keep hearing about it, get an air fryer. It'll change your life. Get an air fryer. You'll never look back. You don't need a toaster. Just get an air fryer. So I bought a Ninja Max XL air fryer. It just arrived today. Unfortunately, the FedEx guy, when he delivered it, decided to just kind of chuck it on the floor. So it was all dented and the box was dented. Thankfully, the actual air fryer was okay. But yeah, the FedEx guy didn't really seem to give a shit about my air fryer. But I plugged it up. I used it tonight for the first time to do some French fries. I didn't burn the house down, and they came out great. I think me and this air fryer are going to get along very well. So, I'm very excited to use my Ninja. You know, WWE had an infatuation with ninjas 2 years ago. We saw ninjas on television every week. Now I have a ninja in the house with me. I have a ninja living with me here in the house, and I love it. I've changed my tune on ninjas. I love ninjas now. I'm like Vanilla Ice. I feel like singing about ninjas. Go, ninja, go, ninja, go. I'm gonna be singing that song every single night before I have dinner. I'm going to be doing the dance. It's great. Winston Smith, buy or sell waffles or pancakes? Pancakes. Pancakes by mile. Like waffles, but I love pancakes. I don't have either one very often, but when I do, it's usually pancakes. Food Hive says, no Food Hive recipes. Heel turn. You haven't shared any recipes with me. What recipes are you talking about? I've been waiting for these recipes. You haven't given me any. Bob the Builder, do you have a Day After Tomorrow poster behind you? No. If you watch the beginning of the Survivor Series stream, once the stream begins, because I know it's hard to see sometimes with the lighting. I don't have my other lamp on, but I showed an image on screen of what that poster is behind me. It's not. It's actually an image of a forest. There's like a little spaceman in the forest. And there are different trees that have different color. It looks like portals. He's not sure which door he's going to choose. There's a red and a green and a yellow. It looks awesome. Just take my word for it. It looks awesome. But if you go check out the Survivor Series stream, it's an artist named Nick Fluke, Flook. That's who drew the illustration. Plus Ultra Adrian, that FedEx guy must be a Shawn Michaels fan. Oh, I'll bet. It was probably our buddy Drew. I haven't seen him tonight. Juan Ocampo, Plumber Moxley was mad on TV. Was Kevin Dunn there? Plumber Moxley was not very happy about falling off stage. Plumber Moxley knows that he's going to be making the next edition of Botchamania. Bianca Edwards, thank you for the dollar, Bianca. I appreciate that. Rizzo with the $5 super chat. You and a ninja living together made me think that you and Tozawa would make a hell of a sitcom. Make it happen, Netflix. Well, unless Tozawa can cook me French fries, I have the only ninja I need. I have no other space here for any other ninjas. Loop, no, I haven't. Miguel, I guess Moxley is not getting his vacation. Moxley lost his vacation. Moxley lost his vacation, but I think he makes enough money where one day he'll get to go on a really big, nice vacation. So I think he'll be okay. Me being an 80s kid, did I ever watch Gem and the Holograms? I did not. I watched the Jetsons. Does that count? I used to watch the Jetsons. Devin from NJ2000, he's been a channel member for 19 months. He's looking at all these newbies here like, I've been a channel member for 19 months. Do you prefer all wrestling matches to have some sort of story or program going into it, or some matches happening just for the sake of competition? I think you want to have a mix of both. I think having a mix of both is fine. You know, not every single match has to have a long-term story. I think if you want to throw out a match every now and then just for the sake of doing it, maybe somebody new, you sign somebody new, and you want to put them up against somebody on the roster just because you know they're going to have a good match. I mean, I look, for example, one of the things that was so much fun about WCW Monday Nitro 25 years ago, you had a lot of stories on the show, and a lot of them were focused on the NWO, Sting, like the big stars, right? DDP. But you would have cruiserweight matches, right? And it doesn't necessarily have to be like the luchadors. It could be a Chris Jericho or someone like that. But, you know, a lot of them were Rey Mysterio and Juventud and people like that. A lot of those matches had no stories, right? They would put them out there because they were a hook for the show. They would go out there and they had a just an energy about them that got you excited, right? And kept you around for the big names that would come later on. They served a purpose, but they didn't necessarily have a story. I think that's fine. You don't want to flood your entire show with them, though. Story is very important, as we're seeing right now in WWE with the Bloodline stuff. Story is what ultimately will carry your show. More than anything else, it comes down to story, it comes down to characters, it comes down to personalities. That, to me, is the most important thing. Spencer Dunnings, I see you. Just became a sound-off superstar. I think he did that all by himself, too. Spencer, thank you. Bob wants to know, do I own a Day After Tomorrow poster? No. I've seen the movie. I do not have a poster. Rizzo, for this to be the best stream ever, we need someone to make Solo Corpse. Not going to happen. Food Hive, recipes all on the Food Hive YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. He just wanted a cheap plug. Oh, there you go. You got your plug. That's Food Hive, everybody. H-Y-V-E. On YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. Go find him on there. All right, one last look at the poll. 68% of you have voted thumbs up on Dynamite tonight. Only 14% thumbs down, so that's a very good score. A really good first hour. It fell off a bit there in the second hour until the main event, which, of course, is always going to be a very polarizing part of the show, given who was involved. But pretty good Dynamite overall tonight. Move some stories along. The MJF stuff with Regal. Danielson and Dax Harwood had a very good match. We had Samoa Joe, who we don't really see that often in action on Dynamite. He had a match tonight with AR Fox that was pretty good for what we saw. Didn't help there with the commercial break in the middle, but on the whole, I was pretty happy with the show tonight. And now we wait until SmackDown on Friday night, where apparently there's going to be some kind of a segment or ceremony supposedly involving Sami Zayn and the Bloodline. And we have the World Cup Finals. It's going to be Prince Puma against King Cuerno. And you will only get that reference if you are a Lucha Underground fan. Ricochet and Santos Escobar in the finals of the SmackDown World Cup tournament coming up on Friday night. That is where I will be, right back here with you live on YouTube to talk about all of it. And then, of course, episode 785 of the podcast coming up this Sunday. And I think that's it. I think I got all the messages here. I don't think I missed anybody. I think I got you all. Alberto says, so close to 69. What are you talking about? I'm afraid to even ask. 69. No, we didn't get 69 channel memberships, although we could have. We came close. We had 42. 42 is the new record. You guys set an all-new record tonight, gifting channel memberships, because you are a very giving bunch. And I got to give one last shout-out here again. JM with the $100 Super Chat drop. We had Plus Ultra Adrian with the 50. We had Joshua Edwards. My God. I mean, Joshua dropping multiples. $75, gifting memberships. Joshua, Justin. Oh, my God. Too many to name. Hey, there he is. There's the Banana Nose Circus himself on screen. There's Braun Strowman. Manic Game Magician with the $2 Super Chat. Don't ever trust the devil. That is the message coming out of Dynamite tonight. MJF made it very clear to William Regal, never trust the devil. Nathan says, I think he's referring to the Twitter poll. Ah, yes. You are correct. 68.2%. Not quite 69. I didn't know what you were talking about. I was like, I know we're having fun on this stream tonight, but let's not get carried away here. Well, you never know what might happen here, so who knows, right? Let's see what happens on Friday night. Maybe we'll have another one of these parties. I certainly won't mind. We have another one of these parties on Friday night. Hopefully I will see you guys back here. I think we're done here. I'm going to leave you guys. This has been great. This has been fun. Be well. Stay safe. Enjoy the rest of your... Oh, we're not done yet. Bianca. Bianca Edwards. I almost said Bianca Belair. If Bianca wants to get in on the party, she's more than welcome. I would love to have Bianca Belair here on the street. But I think she's got more important things to do. Bianca Edwards just wanted to join this crazy super chat pool. Well, you are more than welcome. We got plenty of room here in this pool. We got plenty of room. So come on in and join in on the fun. Oh my God. I think I just saw pink. I saw fuchsia out of the corner of my eye when I see those multicolored super chats. I think we got another bomb coming in. It's a little delayed because there's been so many of them. There's Bianca. Thank you again, Bianca. Maybe I shouldn't go anywhere. Maybe I'll stay right here for a few more minutes. I mean, if you guys are having fun. We got stars galore. We got stars galore. You're going to see a show like never before. The mission is the titles and we will win. But we're all going to rock WrestleMania 10.
There you go.
JM wanted to hear me rap. There you go. That's the WrestleMania 10 rap right there. Men on a mission. $60 super chat drop from JM coming off his $100 bomb. Says, sorry, I was late to the super chat party. I'll tell you what, you know how to make an entrance late. You know how to make an entrance. A very fashionable entrance there late by JM. Just realize I have multiple super chats of me singing, and I'm not very good at it, so I don't know why. But there you go. Warhawk Rambo with the $2 says LLAP Solomonster.
Dead man walking.
Thank you, Warhawk Rambo, with Kevin Dunn on my screen. Silver Dollar enjoying the emotes. Oh, it is officially December. That's right. It is officially now the month of December. We have hung out together here. We have bridged the gap from November to December. So happy December, everybody. It is officially Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and New Year's Eve and whatever other special occasions take place, D-Day and whatever else happens here in the month of December. We have a Christmas tree lighting here in New York this week. I think it's, is it tonight? Was it tonight? No, I think it's maybe tomorrow. Hey, Zach just subscribed. And that is every bit as important, by the way, as anything else. Liking the streams, you know. Subscribing to the channel is absolutely something that you all should be doing. So if you are not already subscribed and you didn't realize it, go ahead and fix that mistake right now. Since it is December, says Austin Tucker, what is my favorite Christmas movie? Well, of course, it has to be Die Hard. Die Hard is my favorite Christmas movie. Rizzo, $5 super chat. What do you call an angry carrot? A steamed veggie. I'll allow it because you've dropped a lot of love on the stream tonight, but that was pretty bad. Festivus, how could I forget? Of course, the best holiday of all here in the month of December, Festivus. See, but tonight I don't have any gripes. I don't have any problems with you people. So tonight's not really a Festivus night. But yes, of course, we have Festivus here in the throw tomatoes. We have Festivus here in the month of December. That was pretty bad. That was pretty bad. I was going to say Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but that's more of a Thanksgiving movie. So I'll go with Die Hard as the Christmas movie. Austin says that he wishes Armageddon was still a pay-per-view in December for WWE. I miss... Well, I mean, I guess they have WrestleMania Backlash, but, you know, when they had Backlash with the custom sets, with the scythes that went back and forth, the giant hooks, I do miss that. Silver Dollar, 1989, speaking of Kevin Dunn, has Mox's opinion of Kevin Dunn changed? Well, I don't know. There's only one way to find out. Has your opinion of Kevin Dunn changed?
Fuck Kevin Dunn.
No, it has not. His opinion is still the same. Home Alone is a fine choice as well, yes. As a Christmas movie, Home Alone is definitely on that list as well. You know what else I would throw on that list? Jingle All the Way. I wouldn't say it's the best or my favorite, but Jingle All the Way, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sinbad, Turbo Man, Phil Hartman. Rest in peace, Phil Hartman. Gone too soon. That's a great movie. I like that movie. That movie is a guilty pleasure of mine. Elf. I've never seen Elf. I'm not really a Will Ferrell guy. Not really a Will Ferrell guy, but the Thanksgiving Baby Bird skit on Saturday Night Live is still one of the most shocking things I've ever seen. I remember the first time I saw that, I was completely grossed out by that. But just like, the audience reaction, like just genuine shock and awe when people saw that segment for the first time. But like when it comes to his movies, I'm just not really a big Will Ferrell guy. Bad Santa is a great movie. Lethal Weapon. Mm-hmm. Yep. What was my favorite stage design of those early to mid-2000s WWE pay-per-views? I was a big fan of the Royal Rumble 2001 with the giant taxi cab above the short aisleway in Madison Square Garden. That was one of them. I know I had a few others, but that's the one that kind of stands out to me right now. Sean D with the $2. How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Original is the best. Beowulf says, More Cowbell is my favorite skit of him. Well, More Cowbell is a classic. Christopher Walken is awesome. Warhawk Rambo, have you seen the director's cut of Rocky IV? I have not. I've seen Rocky IV many times. I don't think I've ever seen the director's cut. Are there special scenes in there that I need to make sure I go back and see? Yeah, I mean, my brother still likes wrestling. He's not into it as much as he used to be. He doesn't watch week to week anymore. He fell out of it a number of years ago, but yeah, he still keeps up with generally like what's going on and stuff, but he's not into it the way that I am. Let's put it that way. Used to be, but not anymore. I can't really say that I blame him either. Warhawk says, it's awesome. They changed a few things, replaced the robot for one. I may have to find that. Yeah, I've watched Rocky IV, my God. Probably, a dozen times, maybe. TB Thomas in the chat. This is my first time on the channel. I just want to thank you for your podcast. It gets me through the work. Through work daily, and everyone knows that A Christmas Story is the ultimate Christmas movie. Well, A Christmas Story is a classic. Which is the best Christmas episode of Married with Children? The episode where Santa is flying in and he falls to his death in the Bundy's backyard. You go back and you watch that scene, by the way, where they're all sitting in their living room on the couch and they're watching on TV because they're showing on TV Santa's flying in. I think he was flying into the mall and he lands in their yard. They all turn around at the same time. Santa falls to his death. If you watch that scene when Ed O'Neill turns around, like, he has to stifle a laugh. You talk about corpsing. He almost corpsed on camera. Because they were all just waiting to crack up at that scene. Yeah, that's right, Joe, that's right. That's the one where Santa was supposed to drop gift cards on the mall. And he dropped himself in their backyard. That was one of the early seasons, too. I think that might have been the first season. First or second season of Married with Children. All right, this has been fun, guys. I'm going to let you guys go. It's getting late here. It's getting late. I don't even know what to say. You guys blew me away tonight. Thank you for sticking with me here. This has been a fun night. Well over 40 new channel members. And I really know what to say. I wasn't expecting that, but it's a hell of a way to start the month of December. I will say that. And let's keep this party going into Friday night. Back here live after 10 p.m. Friday night. We'll talk about SmackDown and whatever else may be going on. So for real this time, until then, be well, stay safe, and I will see you guys back here for more Sound Off, as always, on Friday night for the SmackDown stream. Thank you again. I'll see you guys Friday night.